You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark. Turn with me to Mark, the 10th chapter. We're on a series on Wednesday nights. We've been teaching on this for some time about a passionate faith. Everybody say a passionate faith. Now, you know, in this series, I've mentioned, you know, just in passing, some of these instances, even though I'm teaching on one specific instance, I'll refer to other instances. I referred to this one, but I hadn't taught it. In fact, we taught on the two blind men out of Matthew 9. That's where that was. But this is a separate instance. This is not the same instance of Matthew 9. This is blind Bartimaeus that we're going to talk about. We've taught on the man with the man was let down through the roof by the four friends. Remember that? Mark's second chapter. And how they were determined and they were persistent and they wouldn't quit. They would not be denied. That's passionate faith. And he got his healing. He walked away healed. We talked about and taught on the woman with the issue of blood, Mark the 5th chapter. And Jairus, the ruler of the Jews, whose daughter was sick and actually died, Jesus raised from the dead, all in the 5th chapter. And how that he came to Jesus, Jairus did, fell at his feet and said, "Come lay your hands on my daughter that she shall be healed and she shall live." And on his way there, the woman with the issue of blood came behind him, the press, persistence, determination, I mean passion, came in, grabbed the hem of his garment, and was healed completely of her plague. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And so, you know, we talked about the two blind men, taught on that out of Matthew the 9th chapter, how that everybody tried to get them to be quiet, and they just cried out louder, and they came into the house even where Jesus was, and he finally said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." And he said, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." And then last week we taught on the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman. Everybody say the Greek woman. And how that she came to Jesus. She wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus said, "Well, I'm just sent to the Jews." You know, he was quiet at first. Then his disciples tried to send her away. And then Jesus said, "I'm not sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And then she came again and he returned her down in essence and said, "Well, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. Healing is the children's bread." And she said, "Truth, Lord." She kept coming. She didn't quit. She said, "Truth, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs off the table." And Jesus said, "Woman, for this saying, great is your faith, and for this saying, the devil's gone out of your daughter." She had a demon-possessed daughter. And her daughter was set free and healed because of passionate faith, because of persistence. See, faith is not a flippant thing. Faith is not we'll give it a shot today, and if it doesn't work, we'll try something else tomorrow. No, faith is passionate, real faith, Bible faith. When you look at the individual cases in the Bible, and we just went over several just then in a nutshell, and each night we've taken one case like that, you'll see people who would not be denied, who are very focused, who kept coming till they got their miracle or got their healing. That's the way we must be. I mean, we can say, you know, just in passing, Jesus is a healer. I believe that. And you can have a need in your life, and you can say, "Well, I'm just believing Jesus to heal me." But it's more than just saying that. It's actually focusing in on that. And gritting your teeth, chomping down on it, and not letting go. And then when you have a bad day or it looks worse the next day, you don't give up. You keep believing. You keep saying, "Look, I'm standing on the Word of God. I've prayed. I'm believing God. I'm healed in Jesus. I don't care what I feel like. It may not look good. I may not feel good. The doctor's report may not be good. God bless them. We're praying for them. But I'm standing on the Word."
Amen.
How long we do that? Till we get our miracle.
That's right.
Till we get our healing. Till we get our deliverance. Till we sense it or feel it or whatever the case may be. We believe when we pray we got it. Let me rephrase that. But we keep standing on it and keep saying it until it manifests. As far as we're concerned, we got it when we pray.
Amen.
Amen. "I am healed in the name of Jesus." "Well, you sure don't look it." "Well, it doesn't. Thank God it doesn't matter what I look like." What matters is what God says. Amen. I mean, if you want to line everybody up and say, "This one looks saved, this one looks lost, this one looks..." Are you kidding? You couldn't tell the difference other than maybe a smile on our face between us and the world. I know people in the world that smile, don't you? I know people in the world that have good days and bad days. But see, that doesn't have anything to do with being saved. What has to do salvation has to do with what you believe about Jesus Christ, whether you accepted him as Lord and Savior. So, you know, healing's no different in that respect. You know, sometimes your body doesn't line up, but we don't pay attention to that. We're standing on the word. We're healed in Jesus' name. And those symptoms, they're just going to have to change. Amen? So, Mark, the 10th chapter, is the instance of Bartimaeus. And we always say blind Bartimaeus because, you know, it does say that, blind Bartimaeus. I think it's interesting that he didn't walk away blind. He walked away healed. So, actually, he would be healed Bartimaeus, wouldn't he? I mean, in that sense. I think it's interesting, too. Bert and I were talking about this today. You know, it names him. That's interesting. He was someone that was known in that area. Whoever the writer of this, Mark, when he wrote the book of Mark by the Holy Ghost, God bless you. You're healed in Jesus' name. Yeah. The writer of the book of Mark, when he wrote this, and he wrote it knowing that people who read it from Jericho, that's where he was. This took place, right outside of Jericho, people would know who Bartimaeus was. Or it would have no significance. I mean, why would you say blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus? That's what it says. Why would you label him and say that? What does that mean? What bearing does that have on anything? The woman with the issue of blood didn't have a name. The man let down through the roof didn't have a name. They weren't well known in that area. In fact, the woman with the issue of blood obviously, you know, was staying away from people by law. According to Levitical law, she couldn't hang around people anyway. She had an issue of blood, and she was supposed to stay away from crowds. And so she wouldn't have been a prominent person. The Bible doesn't even tell us what her name is. It just says a woman with the issue of blood. The man let down through the roof, the only significant thing about him is he had four friends. We know that. We don't know his name. Now, Jairus, he was a ruler of the Jews. Naturally, you'd have his name down there. People would know who he was. So you see in the Bible, a lot of times, people that are unnamed. They're just not named. They're just seemingly in the world nobodies, but nobody is a nobody with God. Everybody's a somebody with Jesus. I mean, these weren't great faith preachers or great, you know, theologians or people who were priests. And I mean, there are some of those in there. But the majority of these are just people that we don't even know their name. That's what amazes me. And we preach this over and over. We've heard countless sermons, or I have, on some of these instances and some of these people. And you know, God knows their name. God knows your name. They may not seem that important to everybody else, but they were important to Jesus. Maybe you don't seem like you're all that significant, but you are to him. Now, in this case, this man was known in town, and so if you read this instance back then, they go, "Oh, blind Bart, I remember him. You sit over here by the road and beg. Yeah, I remember him getting healed. Now, of course, I remember him. Hello." But it wouldn't have done you any good to name the woman with the issue of blood because she wasn't around anybody anyway. See the point here. And there's a lot of instances where the person is not named. The woman with the well. Remember the woman with the well that Jesus talked to in John 4 chapter? We don't know her name. She'd been married five times, and the one she was living with wasn't her husband. Remember that? I mean, it tells us that, but it doesn't tell us who she was. We don't know her name. But over there in the third chapter, John, it names Nicodemus. He was a prominent person. He was one of the Jews. He was a ruler. Are you with me? One of the Jews. And so he was named because people would recognize that. But I'm here to tell you, if people know you or don't know you, Jesus knows you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? If you're all that important or significant or not significant in the world's eyes, you are significant to God.
Yes.
And you can get your miracle. Yes. That's what you get from that. You see from that is that God is no respecter of persons. Some of the most spectacular miracles, some of the most amazing healings that took place were with people we don't even know who they were. There's some description about them, you know, briefly when they came through and got their miracle. I'm amazed how Jesus and a whole multitude, a whole crowd of people would heal this one woman and we don't even know her name. Remember the widow of Nain? What was her name? He raised her son from the dead. Wow. And let me ask you this. The first miracle Jesus did, turn water into wine. Who was getting married? I don't have a clue. You know, you'd think they'd put that in there, but you know, we don't know who those people were. We just know Jesus was for weddings and went to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so just rambling thoughts here. Come on, I was thinking about this as I was looking at this, and Bert and I were talking about you know, how that some are named and some are not named. And, you know, it's just amazing how much is in the Bible. If you'll sit here and look at it and you'll think about it and put yourself in the setting, the situation, how much you can get from this and how much God can speak to you and encourage you and stir you. The Word's like that. It's so rich with information. So it says here, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now he wasn't in the city proper, he was outside the city. They were coming out of the city, Jesus and his disciples, and a great multitude. And a great multitude. Now this is Jesus', M.O., I guess you'd say. I mean, this is everywhere Jesus went. Crowds thronged him, followed him. He just had a hard time getting off by himself. But I think it's also significant that when you look at this, that it's the individual that get healed that we talk about and the ones that are written about, the ones that were in faith. I think there's always a crowd of things around Jesus concerning us that tries to keep us from getting to him, as it were. But if you're passionate enough, you're determined enough, you won't let all the crowd and all the multitude of things that try to stop you from getting to Jesus, you won't let them stop you from getting to him. Passionate faith gets through the crowd. I think that's what the devil often does in our lives, is he tries to put so many things in our life that we just don't really have time to believe God. We don't have time to really focus on this. We don't multitask real well. Amen? Because there's just a crowd of things around my faith. There's a crowd of things around Jesus. Thoughts, activities, things I've got to do, things you've got to do, a multitude of things just surrounding him. And you know, at some point you've got to stop all that insanity, focus in on what's important here. Hello. Ignore the crowd and get to Jesus. Ignore the loud noises. Ignore the pullings here and the pullings there. Do this and do this. Take care of that. Do this. You don't have time for this. You got to, oh, come on. You don't have time for Jesus? You better make time for Jesus. You don't have time to get down and really get serious and believe God? You had better make time to get serious and believe God. If you're going to get your miracle, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to come through the crowd, the multitude. Life's full of all kinds of distractions and multitudes surrounding Jesus, surrounding the Word, surrounding the promises to keep you from them. But if you're passionate enough, you'll break through all that. Amen? So he had this multitude with him. There's blind Bartimaeus over by the side of the road begging. 47th verse, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, hallelujah, somebody. You ought to respond to the Word. You ought to respond to the revelation. You ought to respond when you find out that Jesus is around. You ought to cry out. Amen? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, oh my, Jesus, he's the healer. Jesus, he's the miracle worker. Jesus, I've heard of him. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, he ain't got time for you. There's a whole multitude following him. Who do you think you are? That was not the attitude that blind Bartimaeus had. Here's his attitude or his perspective. He believed, and rightly so, that if he cried out, that Jesus would hear him and do something for him. He did not believe that Jesus was too busy, and he didn't believe that anybody could keep him from his miracle. Did y'all get that? He believed that if he cried loud enough, long enough, that he'd get to Jesus. And nothing could stop him from getting there. And he didn't pay any attention to the multitude of things, people, whatever, events that said, be quiet. Notice how it goes on here. 48th verse. Then many, everybody say many. Many warned him to be quiet. Many things will warn you to be quiet. Many thoughts will come and tell you to quit believing. Many people, many thoughts, many activities, many events, many phone calls. Many things will distract you and tell you to be quiet. In fact, really, the world doesn't care how loud you get, just as long as you don't get so loud about Jesus. Isn't this interesting that there's a whole multitude around Jesus and they weren't hollering? Well, if they were all hollering, they wouldn't hurt him. If they were loud requesting things from Jesus, asking him to do things, do you think they would even hurt him? They wouldn't even hurt him. He'd have been drowned out by their request. Wow. So he was being a little obnoxious. He actually believed God. They were just following around. They didn't want to believe God. They were just following around. Now we got a guy trying to believe God. Would you please be quiet? We're trying to follow Jesus. Hello. Wow. There's churches that way, to tell you the truth. Not this one. Hallelujah. But it says, then many warned him to be quiet. I know I'm symbolizing some of this and over-spiritualizing to some degree, but there's still a truth in here, I believe, that we often miss how many times we're quieted down by the many things in our life, quieted down by the many activities, the many phone calls, the many seemingly important things, but it quiets our voice down that cries out for Jesus. It quiets our voice down that believes God, that wants to trust God and stand in faith and get that miracle. It quiets it down, and then we walk through our lives and we don't get our miracle and we don't get our healing and we don't get our answer to our prayer because we listen to the many things out there. And are you listening?
Yes.
You getting this? Now, sure, we are busy people. Life's busy. But we need to have our priorities right and we need to have our focus right. Amen? And we need to be loud when it comes to what we're believing God for. And that needs to overpower everything else that we're doing, overshadow everything else we're doing. So it says, then many warned him to be quiet, and here's what he did, and you need to do the same thing. He cried out all the more, King James says, a great deal. I love that. In fact, you ought to recognize, the red flag ought to go up. A buzzer ought to go off. Red lights, everything ought to start going off. When you have this inclination to tone down a little bit on trusting God. Tone down a little bit on standing up for Jesus or whatever the case may be. I mean, you ought to have a red light goes off. Wait a minute, I'm not going to tone down. That voice, that's the many. Many are called, few are chosen. That's the many. Broad's the way it leads to destruction. Narrow's the way it leads to eternal life. Or you could say it leads to healing, or leads to a miracle, or leads to an answered prayer. I mean, this stuff's not just happening wholesale in the sense that just hundreds of millions of people every day are just getting miracles and getting healings. There are people getting healed. There are people getting miracles. But if you just walk through the streets, you're not going to hear a whole lot about it. You don't read about it on the newspaper, and you don't hear it on CNN, Fox News, and so on. But people every day in churches and people every day that are crying out to God are getting miracles, but there are few compared to the many that don't. Even salvation's that way. There's only few compared to the many that don't get saved. And that's sad. Because the many are busy. Most of them are busy trying to quiet everybody else that's trying to get to God. And they themselves are not getting anything from God at all. They're not getting their miracle. They're not getting their healing. I mean, there's a whole multitude with Jesus. Were there any of them getting healed right here? Evidently not. It's not even recorded. There's only one recorded. It's the man that wouldn't shut up. The man that would not be quiet. That would not be denied. That is what we're teaching about. That's passionate faith. Amen? That's a passionate faith. So it says, the many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what we ought to do. We'll just get louder. Drown out the crowd with our faith. Real faith drowns out the crowd. Real faith drowns out the noises. Real faith drowns out the negatives. So Jesus stood still. What? So Jesus stood still. Now get this picture now. He's walking along. There's a whole multitude. It says a multitude's following him. Great crowd. Large crowd. One translation says great crowd. You know, I mean, they turned out. They had a good service. There's a bunch of people there. Are you with me? But as far as you know, there's only one person got a miracle. Great crowd. And he's walking along here. And old blind Bartimaeus over here is crying out. And, you know, they start hollering at him. Be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. Don't you bother the Lord here. Man, we're having church here. It's like a guy in church was amening back at the back real loud. You know, he's a visitor. He walked in this church and the preacher's preaching. He's going, amen, you know. And about that time, people started looking over at him, you know. And somebody said, the preacher said something else. He said, hallelujah. About that time, boy, two deacons went back to the back and stood back behind him, you know. And the preacher said something. He said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Deacons kind of walked him outside and said, sir, what in the world do you think you're doing? He said, well, I'm just praising the Lord. I'm just saying hallelujah and amen. I'm so excited about Jesus. They said, well, what in the world are you amening and hallelujah and praising the Lord in the middle of that service? He said, well, I got saved. I'm telling you, I got saved the other day. Jesus saved me. And they said, well, you didn't get saved in this church. That's probably true. Are you with me? If you got something, you get excited about it. Amen. Well, this man's trying to get something. He was getting excited about getting something. He didn't want to miss this opportunity. Jesus was passing by. Hallelujah. You know, he believed he was there and he believed he was reachable. Do you believe he's in your midst and do you believe he's reachable? In the midst of all that's going on in your life and the multitude of things that happens in your life, do you believe that Jesus will hear you if you call? He'll stop everything he's doing.
Amen.
If you'll cry out in faith. He is never too busy to meet your need. Never. Well, he's got to run the universe. He can handle it. Amen. If you cry out in faith, he'll stop. Get this, man. This is powerful stuff here. He says Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Wow. I got to expound on that a little bit. I know we're tearing this apart and taking it apart and digesting it and picking it apart. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. All those people surrounding Jesus, only one of them did Jesus call. Isn't that something? There's a multitude around Jesus, but he only called one of them. You remember that multitude surrounding Jesus in Mark the 5th chapter? And that woman came behind him and grabbed his garment? And Jesus stopped and turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, there's a multitude thronging you. And you're saying, who touched me? Well, evidently, that woman touched him with a different kind of touch. And there was a bunch of people talking, because you know they were hollering at the blind man over here. But evidently, his voice was a different kind of voice. His call was a different kind of call. It was the voice of faith. Like that woman had a touch of faith. A touch of faith always gets his attention. A cry of faith always gets God's attention. When everybody else is hollering, it's the voice of faith that gets his ear. And he stopped and he called him. Out of all those people, called him. And it says he commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Man, he's calling us, if you want to know the truth. He's calling us to him. He's saying, if any man come to me, I'll nowise cast him out. He says, call to me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great mighty things you know not. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open unto you. We ought to be of good cheer. He's calling us. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to rise. We ought to rise up out of our depression. We ought to rise up out of our pain. We ought to rise up out of our sickness. Rise up out of our need, out of our poverty, out of our despair. We ought to rise up because he's calling us. Oh, everybody in the world is tugging at us and everything in the world is tugging at us, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is Jesus is tugging. He's calling. And you need to focus. Faith is a focus. It's a drowning out of all the voices. It's a drowning out of all the pulls and the tugs and just focusing in on Jesus and following that one. It's rising up out of the mess, the confusion, the dismay or whatever's going on and getting to Jesus. In fact, that's really what he did. It says Be a good cheer, rise, he is calling you. 30th or the 50th verse says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. That garment, that just represents his life of begging, his life of blindness, his life of depending on others, his life of being a victim. That garment, you know, was his beggar's garment. I'm sure it had places where he could put coins in it, you know, and it probably was ragged looking. It identified him. It's who he was. See, when he came to Jesus, he left that old life. That's what he was saying. He threw that away, and he's going to rise to a new life. Hallelujah. A life not of dependence on everybody, a life not of blindness, a life not of begging, but a life of new strength. Hallelujah. Life of not weakness and sickness, but a life of health and strength. I mean, it changes you when you get to Jesus. It should. And you should come to him with that attitude, the right attitude, the attitude of faith. The right way to approach Jesus and come to Jesus and call out to Jesus is the attitude of leaving behind your weakness, your poverty, your sickness, your pain, your defeat, and coming to victory, and coming to health, and coming to peace, and coming to strength, and coming to a bright future. You're coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to beg anymore. You're not a victim anymore. You're a victor. I mean, there's a pull to go under. There is. There are a lot of voices that push you down. But there's one that's calling you up. And that's Jesus that's calling you up. And you know what meets that is the voice of faith. What touches that voice and what touches that destiny, what connects with that future is the cry of faith, the voice of faith. I believe I can come out of this. I believe that Jesus is bigger than this. I believe he cares. I believe he'll have mercy on me. I believe he'll hear me. I believe he'll stop, he'll turn, and he will meet my need. Amen. Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Wow. Make it personal. Amen. That's what faith does. Faith makes it personal. Faith's not, you know, abstract. It's not a concept. Faith's not out there. Faith is personal. It's right here where you live. It's you and Jesus. Hallelujah. It's connecting with the healer, with the miracle worker, with the victor and the victory, with the healer and with healing. Praise God. Okay, so he threw aside that old life. See, do we come that way? That's the proper way to come to Jesus. You've got to throw away the old junk. Throw away the old life, the old way of thinking. Throw away the pain. Throw away the need. Glory to God. I'm coming to the answer. I'm coming to the victory. I'm coming to my healing. I'm coming to new strength and new life. I'm coming to Jesus. Man, I don't need this junk anymore. I don't need this old beggar's robe anymore. I don't need all that. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So that's the attitude you came. See, this is faith. This is what faith does. Faith believes something is going to change for the better. Faith believes that this is, as the song goes, hey, you're the one that I've been looking for, and I found you here. Wow. I don't need all this. I just need you. Amen? And that's what he did. He got to Jesus. Wow, and listen to this, man. Goodness gracious. This is so good. Y'all excited about this as I am?
Amen.
The 51st verse, this is after he came, rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Well, just whatever, Jesus. No, that's not. Well, Lord, I just want what you want. Well, I mean, that's okay. That's good. I'm glad. But do you know what it is? Can you say it? Can you put words to what it is that you think God wants for you? See, that wouldn't have been the right answer. If the blind man had said, well, just whatever you want, Jesus would have still, I guarantee you this conversation would have been a lot longer if that man would have said that. Just whatever you want. I guarantee you Jesus would ask him another question. Well, what is it that you think I want you to have? He wouldn't have let it go. He wouldn't have sat there and just let that be the end of it. Jesus would have said, now, you know, it's like, now come on, you got to ask me. You got to ask me specifically what it is that you want. This is faith. We're talking faith here. We're talking about a miracle here. Amen? And we got details. We know exactly what took place. And this didn't just happen one time. It happened with a lot of people. So he asked the question, well, Lord, I just want what you want. No, 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 no. He asked the question, what is it that you want me to do for you? Because really, think about it. Up to this point, he really hadn't been that specific. He did say, have mercy on me. But that's a big term. Mercy is a big term. Mercy covers a lot of ground. Lord, just be merciful to me. Well, what do you mean, be merciful? Evidently, it's a little more detailed than that. You just threw your robe off over here. Your beggar's garment. I see it laying over there in the ditch. Looks like to me you didn't want to return to that. What is it you want me to do? You think something's going to change here? What is it you want? How specific are we with God? See, I think sometimes we do that. We'll say, well, Lord, whatever, you know, just whatever. Well, no, God, you know, God knows what's going on in your life and he cares and he wants you to come ask him. Is it a healing that you need? Ask him for a healing. Do you need peace? You need wisdom? Ask him for that. Now, I know that because I know that's what God wants because that's what God said. And God has all kinds of promises, very specific promises in the Bible with instruction telling us that if you lack wisdom, ask God who will give it to you liberally. And is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with the holy name of the Lord. Prayer of faith save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding will come. See, there's specific promises in the Bible and instructions on how to receive that promise. So Jesus is asking something very specific. This is the way Jesus operates. It's the way he always has operated. And he's trying to get this man to be specific with his faith because it's going to take faith for him to get this miracle. You say, well, doesn't God want me healed? Well, of course he does, but that doesn't really matter. At this point, the question is not that. The question is, do you want to be healed?
Right.
Well, doesn't God want me say? Well, without a doubt, but that's really not the question. That's a foregone conclusion. That's already in the Word. We know that. God wants everybody to say. The question is, do you want to be saved? Yeah, I think I do. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to ask him. Amen. You need to ask him because Jesus said in John 7:7-8, he said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door be open unto you. Or seek and you'll find, and knock and the door be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh the door be open unto you. That's what these individual cases are about. That's what we see with this Greek Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. That's what we see with the woman with the issue of blood. That's what we see with that man sick of the palsy let down to the roof, Jairus and his daughter. That's what we see with the two blind men that came to Jesus. We see people specifically coming to Jesus and asking him in faith and receiving a miracle. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, all things that you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Oh, come on, man. I mean, these are, there's scripture after scripture on this. We've gone over case after case. So when he's asking this man this question, well, you know where he's going with it. I mean, we've read enough, we've heard enough, we've studied enough, we've been enough church services that we know what he's getting at. He's getting that man to voice his need in faith so Jesus can do it. And that's all God's waiting on. He's waiting on you and I to get to him and voice what it is we want in faith so he can do it. Here's Jesus. He's ready. You know what? Jesus picked up on something. Jesus detected something. Jesus' spiritual sensors went off. He's walking down the road with a crowd of people, and he hears somebody over here in faith. Whoa, wait a minute. Stop. Call that man over here right now. I mean, it's almost like, and I know Jesus healed a man because he was blind and he wants to heal him. I know that. But I know also Jesus wanted to teach a lesson. I know that woman that got healed because of her own faith. But I also know that Jesus stopped and made a point so everybody could see what took place. And his spiritual detectors went off. Whoa, wait a minute, something going on. I'm getting something here. Whoa, somebody's believing. Somebody. Whoa, stop. Hey, call that man over here right now. And then he begins to, it made such an impact, it's written in the Bible. How many people you think got healed in Jesus' ministry? There's really not that many individual cases. There's a lot of times it just says a multitude got healed. Or from evening to morning, they came, he laid hands on them, and he spoke the word, and they were healed, and demons came out of many. One place it says they begged him they might touch him. As many as touched him were made whole. I love that. That's good. But here, we just have a few of these individual cases. But these are power-packed cases with interaction and what the person said, what Jesus said. And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, that I may receive my sight. Hey, don't you think Jesus knew that? Well, you know, when I pray, I just say, God, whatever, because you know what I need. Don't you think Jesus knew that? I mean, come on, the guy comes up here like this. Don't you think Jesus knows he's blind? Did you notice Jesus didn't say, well, tell me something I don't know? I mean, did he? No. I can just, inside, now he didn't do this, but I could just see inside, just for a moment here, Jesus asking, and I mean destiny is hanging on this question. This man's future, there is like a pause here, and his future is hanging on how he answers this question. Jesus is wanting to heal this man. I know Jesus. I know he is wanting to heal this man. You know he wants to heal this man. You can't read the Gospels without knowing what a passion Jesus had to help people and to heal people. And yet, Jesus couldn't violate our wills or that man's will. And he couldn't violate the way God works. He had to stay within the confines of God's Word, which requires you to believe. It requires you to willfully come and choose. He can't just wholesale, just overrule your will and help you. So in this moment of time, this instant, just in that instant where he said, it's just getting all over me thinking about it. I mean, he's already gearing up. He caught it. Call that man over here. What do you want me to do? And he's and inside he's hoping, he's going, oh God, just please ask me to heal you. Just come on. But he can't make him do it. He can't make him do it. He can't make you do it either. You got to come of your own free will. You got to choose. He can't make you do it. I can almost picture Jesus when he says that I might receive my sight. I can almost picture him on the inside going, yes, yes, yes. Because that's what he came to do. How many people he passed by never got their miracle? How do you think it made Jesus feel? I mean, we often miss that. We don't, Jesus wants to heal people. He wants to save people. God is grieved in many cases, I think, because of our unbelief, because we don't follow through. And man, I'm telling you, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight, 52nd verse. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. In other words, you got it. Your faith has made you well. Now listen to that statement. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, I guess so, on the road. Now he's following Jesus around. Glory to God, Jesus healed him. I mean, that's what you do when you get a miracle, you go follow him around. You know, in this verse right here, where it says your faith has made you well, I love that word. That word in the Greek is sozo. It's translated saved in Romans 10:9. But it's interesting. It's an interesting word because it means more than just saved. It means healed. Obviously, here we know it meant healed. Could anybody deny that? I mean, the man got his sight. Yeah. You know, it says immediately received his sight. So we know where it says your faith has made you well or sozoed you. That he's saying that it healed you. I love that because that word is associated with faith and healing, faith and deliverance. Remember the woman with the issue of blood where Jesus said, woman, your faith hath made you well or made you whole, King James Version. That's sozo. It's the very same word here. Your faith. Everybody say your faith.
Your faith.
Okay. Your faith hath made you whole. That's what he told that woman. So if you want to be saved, that's true about salvation. There's no doubt about that. It's your faith that saves you. I mean, salvation comes by faith. It doesn't come by works. It comes by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in Romans 10:9, where it says it, it says this, and just if you're writing notes or just make a mental note, whatever. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see that? So we know we were saved or go to heaven because we believed, because believing in faith is connected to this word. It's always connected to this word. Your faith hath made you whole, the one with the issue of blood. Your faith hath made you well. You know, Acts the 14th chapter, remember Paul was preaching? And it says he perceived this man had faith to be healed. You remember that? He said, and perceiving this man had faith to be healed, he told him to rise and walk, grabbed him up, and he was healed. That word healed, sozo. Same word. Acts 14, verse 9. And there again, what's it associated with? Faith and healing. Faith and salvation. So what does it take to get a miracle? What does it take to get sozoed? What does it take to get delivered? Well, it takes healing. It takes faith to get healed. It takes faith to be made whole, like the one with the issue of blood, like the man here, blind Bartimaeus, to get healed of his blindness, to come out of your sin and be saved, like Romans 10:9, to be healed like that man Paul healed in Acts 14, chapter 9, verse. And then James, the 5th chapter, there's another case that word's used. James 5th chapter, I quoted it actually. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? You know that one? It says, any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That word save is sozo. Same word. Now, what's common about all those verses? Well, obviously, in that verse, we're talking about healing. The prayer of faith saves the sick. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So it's not talking about forgiveness. It says the prayer of faith will heal the sick or save the sick. The next verse says, confess your faults one another and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. But there in that 15th verse, it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Prayer of faith will save the sick. And all these other instances I just quoted, Acts 14:9, and you know, and over in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, thy faith has made thee whole. And then here, of course, we're reading here, your faith has made you well in Romans 10:9. Faith. It takes faith to get healed. You know that? It takes faith. It takes the prayer of faith. Whether you're praying it or somebody's praying with you, it takes you get in faith to get your miracle. But if you are passionate enough, and you're focused enough, and you're believing as you should, according to the Word, you can get healed like this blind Bartimaeus who is blind no more. And you can get healed like that woman with the issue of blood. And you can get healed like that man that Paul laid hands on and healed in Acts 14 chapter. You can get healed like James the 5th chapter talks about, just like you got saved when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and believed in your heart God raised him from the dead, according to Romans 10:9. Anybody saved tonight?
Amen.
Okay, you can get your miracle. If you're that desperate and you're that passionate and you're that focused, remember when you got saved? I know some of us may have been saved when we were little kids, but if you got saved when you were older, do you remember when you called on him?
Yes.
Do you remember where you were? I remember where I was. I can't even think about that crying. I've been saved over 30 years, and I still cry like a baby when I think about when I got saved. I was desperate. I just remembered those years. I remember those days. I remember that week. I remember when I called. I was very serious when I called on Jesus. I was very serious. I came to him with everything I had. That kind of faith gets results. Got me saved. Got you saved. And if you'll come to him with his word now, a promise that he's made, whether it's healing or whether it's peace or whether you have a financial need, he cares about that. He does care. You come and you focus in. Don't you let go. You get in faith on this thing. You quiet all the voices. You outshout them. You got to outshout the voice. When you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. Amen. Outshout those voices and you'll walk away with your miracle. Woo! Hallelujah.